matter of your heart, that you'll be true. If you have a saving faith, if you have a biblical faith, I trust you'll be true to that faith until you die. It certainly may mean the life in someone else. Maybe the life of faith that you're now living will be a light to win someone else. Let's continue our study in Hebrews chapter 11. The title of the message today, The Miracle of Motherhood. And yes, I realize that next Lord's Day is Mother's Day. Just so much tribute, so much appreciation that we have for godly motherhood. It's going to take us a couple of weeks to give our Mother's Day message. So we're giving you a head start. We have a little review left to do before we get to it. We are in Hebrews chapter 11. We have seen that faith is a family affair. We have been looking at the lives of Abraham and Sarah in verses 8 through 19. And we were blessed to see that they were one in faith, one in the Lord as husband and wife. And then in verse 20, we see by faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau. Now, that's a family affair, but there's a definite distinction there. We are told that God loved Jacob and hated Esau. And I believe it's because Esau hated God. It doesn't mean that God didn't love Esau, because the Bible says, for God so loved the world. But you see, God can love and hate at the same time. That's something that probably we need to learn how to do. Sometimes we have more love than when we should have a scriptural hate, and vice versa. But I trust that we are teachable. But notice that in verse 20, we're told by the inspired word of the living God that Isaac blessed both boys, Jacob and Esau. Now, I have a question for you this morning. Which blessing would you have rather to receive? Remember now, his was a spiritual blessing. He had the birthright. He had finagled the blessing. I don't believe he had to do that. God would have seen to it. And again, the purpose is the younger being served by the elder. It's the principle of grace. Esau got a blessing, but what kind of blessing did he get? We didn't take a lot of time to look at it last week. He got an earthly blessing. And believe me, there are many Christians today that are choosing earthly blessings over spiritual blessings. Instead of the godly admonition, to seek those things which are above, setting your affection on things above, Christians are seeking and their goals are secular. Bigger, better, more, whatever. And it's getting them in trouble because they're not depicting their Savior. Trouble. And that needs to be adjusted. Another family situation we want to look at before we kind of isolate on the miracle of motherhood is found in verse 21. By faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph. And we saw that he switched his hands. In other words, when Joseph brought the two boys, he had put Ephraim and Manasseh in particular hands because he wanted the older to be blessed. Again, that was culture, that was ritual, that's the way it was done. But we saw that the grandfather wittingly changed his hands. And again, the concept is grace over ritual or rut or routine. Many lessons for us to learn there. Let's look at verse 22. By faith, and again, let us mention with Abraham and Sarah, with in verse 20, with Isaac and Jacob and Esau, and Jacob blessing both of Joseph's sons. It's by, they did it by faith. And you told me, you resoundly told me where faith comes from. The Bible says faith comes from hearing. And I gave you another word just to try to help your understanding of hearing. Anybody remember what it was? I know that's asking a lot. Yes, several of you did get it. Faith comes by instruction and instruction about the Word of God. If you want a greater faith, spend more time learning about the Bible. Attend more services. Hide the Word in your heart. Spend more time in family altar. Now we're going to talk about the miracle of motherhood today, and it's possible that maybe you don't live in a godly family. Maybe you don't have parents that are saved. Your heart's been opened through the witness of a friend at school or vacation Bible school or some other way. Maybe you have parents that aren't discerning, that don't love God. Well, there's hope for your parents, and maybe you can be that hope. We'll talk about that this morning, Lord willing. Let's, though, not jump over verse 22. Let's see now, by faith, and again, where did Joseph get this faith? And how do I know that was a biblical faith? There are a lot of different kinds of faith, aren't there? The Bible talks about vain faith. The Bible talks about the religious people have a faith, but if it's not in Christ, it's a vain faith. The cults have a faith. There are a lot of Muslims in the world. They have faith, but theirs is not a true faith. Why? Because the object of their faith is not Jehovah. It's not the God of the Bible. It's Allah. And Allah doesn't exist. You knew that, didn't you? But all those hundreds of thousands of millions of people are worshiping a God that doesn't exist. Who's going to tell them that? I hope you are. I hope I am. I hope that we have a burden for those people, because God's not willing that any should perish. He wants those people to be saved. So where did Jacob get this faith when he was dying? He got it from instruction from the Word of God. Instruction about God. He learned more about God, and now his faith is going to be demonstrated in the sunset years of his life, maybe the sunset months or weeks or days of his life. Let's look at it. Let's turn back to Genesis chapter 50. And no guarantee, my friend, if you were saved young in life, there's no guarantee that you're going to be serving God in your sunset years, or tomorrow, or the next day. You may take a left turn. We could read about Demas that had forsaken Paul. We could turn to the book of Nehemiah and read hundreds of names, people that had taken a left turn. Just because you have faith today doesn't mean you're going to be practicing it tomorrow, even though you may be saved. Their apostasy, backsliding, compromise, those are things that I'm sorry to say exist. And we'll see the more of it the closer we get to the rapture. Wouldn't that be something if we were days within, or maybe hours within the rapture? Does that kind of excite you just a little bit? That's the way we ought to be living our lives, beloved. We could hear the shout before this service is over. What a blessing to finish this message in heaven where we have a real teacher. Genesis chapter 50 and two verses. I want you to look at the last three verses of the book of Genesis. Genesis chapter 50 and verse 24. And remember now, according to Hebrews 11, that the words that we read here, the actions that we read here, are being accomplished, I believe, through Holy Spirit enablement. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the word of God. And how did Joseph adhere himself to the words of instruction? How did he grasp, how did he comprehend the word of God? He did it the same way you and I do it. If you have a discerning faith, you need to thank God that you have a discerning faith. It's through the Lord's enablement. It's not through your ingenuity. It's not through your spirituality. It's not through your power that you became a child of God, that you're here today and you're understanding some of the things that I'm saying. If you have a discerning faith, you need to thank God for it. It's a gift of God. He's enabled you to hunger and thirst after righteousness. You've studied to show yourself approved unto God. You're a workman that needeth not to be ashamed. Thank Him if you have a discerning, a workable faith, a usable faith. Not everybody has one. Verse 24, and Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you. Now, how did he know what God was going to do in the future? God told him. And he believed, he trusted, and I know it's very simple, and I know you know this as a Christian, but what you believe needs to guide how you live your life. You have to live your faith. You can't just have it theologically stored up here and have a bunch of theological, biblical facts. Those facts must govern the way you live. The just shall live by. That's what the book says. Faith has to be lived. How do we know what the Apostle Paul believed? We look and see how he lived his life. How do we know what Jesus Christ believed? We look and we see the facts of how he lived his life. These men weren't hypocrites. They lived their faith. And I trust that's what you're doing, so that you can be a light to those around you by the grace of God. There's others still to be won. The body of Christ is not complete. How do I know that? How can I be so sure of that? Because we're still here. We haven't heard the shout. We could turn to John chapter 17 where Christ prayed, Father, I want them to be with me where I am. Christ wants His bride to be with Him. And where is He right now? He's in heaven at the right, and that's where He wants you and I to be. He's not going to be satisfied till we're there. But the body's not complete yet. You and I still have work to do. Verse 24, Joseph said unto his brethren, I die, and God will surely visit you and bring you out of this land unto the land which He sware to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Now, if you haven't been here for the last few weeks, I'm putting you, I know, at a bit of a disadvantage if you haven't had the opportunity to attend the recent services. But for those that have had the privilege, and I hope the pleasure of being here, when God made promises to Abraham and said, through you all the families of the earth will be blessed, when He renewed those promises to Isaac and to Jacob, He said, I'm going to give you a certain piece of land. You're going to have children more than the sand of this. All of those things are encapsulated into what one biblical word? Do you remember? Gospel. That's right. Galatians chapter 3, God preached the gospel to Abraham. And we know the gospel as the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. That's how God brought those blessings. The gospel is the power of God unto salvation. Now, I want you to think about that aspect right here before us. It's pictured beautifully for us right here. Jacob says, I'm going to die. And God will surely do what He said He was going to do. He said He was going to bring you out of this land, and He's going to bring you into a land which He swore, which He promised. And God's promises need to be lived. They need to be believed. That's who He is. That's how we demonstrate to others that we serve a one true and living God. We simply do what He told us to do. Isn't that what Christ did? Now, He got crucified for it. He said, I came to do the will of my Father. I didn't come to do my own will. I've got an agenda. and it's not mine, it's my Father's. I'm not saying that Christ didn't want to do that. He did. Pardon me. And he said over and over again, I came to do the will of my Father. Is that your motivation? Are you living for Christ? Crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Because Christ liveth in me. I have a reason, I have a motive for living today. And who is that? It's the person. For me to die is gain, but for me to live is Christ. He is my life. He's my reason for living. And I trust your reason for being here, for studying the Word of God, wanting to be more like Him. You call yourself a Christian. You're telling others you want to be like Christ. I trust that you're being conformed to His image by hearing the Word of God taught, proclaimed. You're hearing, you're being instructed out of the Word of God. Your faith is going to grow, I hope. You're going to be more like Christ. That's my desire for you. That's what I want for you. Joseph said, God will surely visit you. And how can you be so sure? Because He promised, and I know God can't lie. It's impossible for God to lie. He's going to do what He swore to Jacob, what He swore to Isaac, what He swore to Jacob, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He repeated that promise. And we say, thank you, Lord. Somebody repeated the gospel to you. Where'd you first hear it? Stop and think about it for a minute. Where'd you first hear the gospel? Was it from your mother? Somebody took you to Sunday school. Somebody took you to church, vacation Bible school. You heard an open-air street preacher. You heard some religious program on television. Where did you first hear that you can't be saved if you haven't heard the gospel? It's the power of God and salvation. Now remember that when you're sharing and witnessing to others, they have to hear the gospel. They can hear what a great preacher you have at the Orlando Bible Church. That was a joke. That won't save anybody. They have to hear the gospel. The good news. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. Joseph says, I believe the gospel. And so, I want you to do something. Now he's going to demand some faith on his hearers' part. I want you to see that. Verse 25. And Joseph took an oath of the children of Israel. Took an oath of the children of Israel. And what did they have to promise that would happen? What did they have to do? They had to promise that God will surely visit you and ye shall carry my bones up from hence. If you're going to take my bones and take them to the promised land, then God's going to have to deliver you from this Egyptian bondage. God's going to have to do what He said He was going to do. And now for you to promise, don't miss this, beloved, for you to promise to take my bones, you're going to have to believe the gospel. Do you see it? And isn't that exactly what you do when you share the gospel with somebody else? You want them to take God at His word? You want them to believe and be saved, don't you? Sure. Sure. Now it's going to take a miracle in their lives, just like it took a miracle in your life. So back in Hebrews, when we read, by faith, Jacob blessed the sons of Joseph, and when we read that when Joseph saw that he was going to die, that he made the people promise that they would deliver his bones, we see so much more out of that than just those simple words. What a blessing. Father, we bow before Thee. we're thankful for all the scriptural reminders of how important family is. We see Abraham and his wife Sarah. We see how Abraham was willing to offer his son, his only son, knowing that God was able to raise him from the dead. And I trust parents here today are living godly, spirit-filled lives so that their faith can be adhered to by their offspring. And their offspring can live their faith and win their children to the Lord. And their children can win their children to the Lord. And we can reach out to our neighbors and others by faith and tell them of the glorious God that we have, the glorious gospel of the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ, so that faith can be a family affair in their lives, and they can become members of the family of God. It's only through rebirth. It takes a miracle. We're thankful that Joseph believed the gospel, and he was used to extract an oath from others that believed the gospel. And we see how the gospel has changed our lives. Some things we used to do, we hate and we don't want to do anymore. And there are some things now that we love that we used to never care for. We're new creatures in Christ. All things have become new. And we're growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. And there's some things we're probably doing now that we need to learn to hate and separate from as well. And we trust that you'll teach us in time as we become more and more like your Son. Thank you for each one in divine attendance today. No one has come by chance. We pray for those that would have wanted to be here. We think of Winnie not feeling good with the flu. We pray that you raise her up from this bed of affliction, restore her to us, to her husband, and bring her back. And others, maybe the Ward family not feeling well. We think of other families that Pastor Steve being in Ireland with Lewis and Josh on the senior trip. Watch over him, be with his family as he's away from them. Thank you for those that are here, each individual, each family represented. Thank you for our missionary families. Thank you for Pastor Mark as he labors in Haiti. Help him with his knee. Needs a replacement, and we trust his blood pressure and blood sugar is being brought under control so that he can safely have that knee replacement operation. We pray for David Cox as he labors with Thule and son Ross and daughter Kelsey in Mexico. Bless them. We're sorry to hear they're not going to be able to make the trip up this June and July, but bless them going through some financial hardships there. We pray for the Dreisbach families. We think of Anne in Suriname. We think of her father. We think of John and Libby safely back in the Philippines. Thank you for word received from them. We pray for Grace Christian Academy. We thank you for the work here at the Christian School as they draw close to the end of the 2008-2009 year. Watch over them as they make plans for next year with staff and students. Bless and guide according to your perfect will. We think of the Fields as they labor in Kenya. Be with the Flex as they labor in the Marshall Islands. We think of David Smallwood as he does the work of evangelism. Guide David, help him to reject invitations that he should not receive, and help him to receive the invitations where you'd have him to go to share your word. Give him journeying mercies as he travels. The work that needs to be done on his truck and trailer, guide him there. We think of the Washers. We think of Terry and Sandy in Kenya near Sandy's parents, the Fields. And we think of Nathan and Rachel Washer in Zambia with their four boys. Bless and guide and meet their needs as well. Many other missionaries and pastors around the world doing your work. We think of Mike in Inverness. Pray that you'd bless him in his attempt to plant a New Testament church there. We pray, Father, for Pastor Hatcher in Mount Pleasant. We think of other godly men and missionaries that we may never meet this side of glory that are doing your will and taking a solid, separated, fundamental stand for the Word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. Bless them and encourage them. We're thankful for the local church that you've given us in which to worship, but we don't want to be unmindful of the rest of the remnant and the work that you're doing in and through them for your glory. We thank you that your son's coming soon. Maybe it'll be today that we'll hear the shout. We pray, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And if it's next week, next year, or next decade, Father, or century, we just trust you. It'll be at the right time. You won't be late. And we know, Father, that the signs are ripe, and we see how you're working with Israel. We see what's going on in the world, and we expect to hear the shout any moment. So help us to set our affection on things above. Help us not to get entangled in our warfare here on earth. Help us to make godly choices and be separated and touch not the unclean thing, to be meat for the Master's use. We ask it as we continue our tribute to godly mothers. We appreciate them, and trust as we glean from Scripture the importance of motherhood, that we would appreciate it and be good mothers spiritually, and maybe expand our families by adoption and winning others to Christ spiritually. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Miracle of motherhood. Where would we be without mom? Well, very simply put, we wouldn't be, would we? Everybody has a mom. Now, maybe you don't know mom. Maybe you maybe were reared by somebody else. Maybe your mother died early, or through divorce or some other circumstances, you were parted from your mom. Maybe you have a mom that's not a godly mom. There's something you can do about that. Hebrews chapter 11, we come now to verse 23. And we read, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Now, I want you to look at it. I want you to think about it for a minute. And I need to know, whose faith are we honoring here in verse 23? It's not Moses' faith, is it? We'll come to that in verse 24, 25, 26, 27. Verse 27, by faith he forsook Egypt. Verse 28, through faith he kept the Passover. We will come to Moses' faith, but whose faith are we honoring in verse 23? Amram and Jochebed, his parents' faith. Now, I say the faith of his parents because verse 23, and we'll take a look at Exodus in just a moment. Verse 23 says, by faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents. Now, when we turn to Exodus, we're going to find out that his mother hid him. The dad was in on the plan. And we'll also take a few minutes this morning, and that's all we have is a few minutes. We'll take a few minutes this morning and we'll try to ascertain why they were hiding him. What was the threat? What was the big deal? And we'll see that it was a big deal. We want to honor godly motherhood. It doesn't exist. Not all mothers are godly. I had a good mother, but she wasn't a godly mother. In fact, she was an alcoholic. She did a great job, in a certain sense, of rearing 3 children without the help of a husband. My dad was a scoundrel and ran off and deserted us when I was 2. Mom tried hard. She worked hard, but she drank hard. We never had family altar in my house. Oh, I knew where the scotch bottle was. I knew where the beer was kept. I could sneak one out, snitch one every now and then. She wouldn't know it. I don't even know if there were any Bibles in the house. She had me baptized when I was born in the United Methodist Church. I don't think that did me any good. She took me to a Baptist church when I was in elementary school. I even went forward and got baptized. And you know the reason? I wanted to wear the white pants. I had no idea about what he said. And I can recall the pastor questioning me and asking me about my faith. But I guess I snowed him as I had done myself and many others. And I was religious. I was a good religionist, but I was lost. My mother even took me to the Episcopal Church. I used to ring bells and wash the hands of the priest so he could be holy in giving out the Lord's table. I have a certificate home. I'll show it to you. It said that I received the Holy Spirit when I was confirmed. That's what it says. And the Episcopal bishop signed it. He can't lie. I mean, I know what it's like not to have a godly mother. And maybe your mom's not godly. Why don't you give her a chance to become godly? Why don't you say, hey, Mom, let's at least a little every day. Let's sit down and just read a chapter together. You mean the child can maybe win the parent to the Lord? Amen. Amen. Give your mother a chance to be godly. Maybe God will use you to fix the situation. Let's look a little bit more at the situation at hand. Let's go to the book of Exodus. Let's start in chapter 2 and then we'll back up just a little bit. And again, I want you to remember now the words of Hebrews. It says, by faith. By faith, Moses' parents hid him 3 months. Got your Bible open? Did you bring a Bible? Any Bibles here today? Let me see them. Got any? Oh, wonderful. Did you keep track of the preacher? Exodus chapter 2. Verse 1 says, there went a man of the house of Levi, he's not named, that's Amram, and took to wife a daughter of Levi, that's Jochebed. And the woman conceived and bare a son, and that wasn't their first child, was it? Actually, Moses had an older brother by the name of, he's about 2 years older, can you give me his older brother's name? Aaron, yes. And there's also a sister, Miriam. So I want you to see that these parents' faith, this wasn't the first manifestation that they had taken God at His Word. These people were living, because faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the... Yeah, these people were living by the promises of God. Circumstances, and we'll look at the circumstances in just a minute... But these people didn't allow present circumstances to control them. They allowed the Spirit of God, the same Spirit that fills your heart if you're a believer and mine, the Holy Spirit of God. They did this faithful manifestation and work. It was a fruit of the Spirit. It's the way it always is. It's the only way it can be. It says, the woman conceived, bare a son, and when she saw him, that he was a goodly child, she hid him 3 months. Now, how do I know that the parents, that this was a team effort? How can I be so sure? The Bible says she hid him, Pastor. Can't you see that? She, the mother, hid him 3 months. Aha. But I'd say, look at Hebrews chapter 11, because it says the parents hid him. You see how the Bible fits together? No contradiction? It's a great book. I know it's Old and New Testament, but it's one book. It's tremendous. Now, let's see why this was such an act of faith. Let's go back now to chapter 1. And let's pick it up in verse 7. And the children of Israel were fruitful and increased abundantly and multiplied. And what was the circumstance? What was their surroundings? Was it conducive to spiritual growth? Was it conducive to prospering and doing well? No, they were slaves in Egypt. You can do well in hard times if you'll let the Spirit of God bear His fruit. Not the message of the prosperity gospel. That's a counterfeit of what we're talking about. You can do well in hard times. You can be well with your soul, even though the world's falling apart. Land was filled with them. Verse 8, now there arose up a new king over Egypt who knew not Joseph. And he said unto his people, behold, the people of the children of Israel are more and mightier than we. Come on, let us deal wisely with them, lest they multiply, and it come to pass that when there falleth out any war, they join also unto our enemies and fight against us. And so get them up out of the land. He knew that they weren't happy. Therefore they did set over them taskmasters to afflict them with their burdens. And they built for Pharaoh treasure cities, Pithom and Ramesses. Look if you would please at verse 12. Persecution produces growth. You'll see it in Acts chapter 8 in the New Testament. But the more they afflicted them, the more what happened? The more they multiplied, the more they grew. And they were grieved because of the children of Israel. The Egyptians made the children of Israel to serve with rigor. And they made their lives bitter with hard bondage and mortar and brick and all manner of service in the field. All their service wherein they made them serve was with rigor, and it's going to get worse. Verse 15, and the king of Egypt spake to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the other Puah. I appreciate these girls, bless their hearts. They were in a tough situation, and they chose to do right. Now, the Bible says to obey every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake. And some will say, well, they disobeyed the rule of the land. They disobeyed Pharaoh's direct command. These girls were sinning. I don't believe so. I believe we need to obey every ordinance of man as the Lord. If it's a conflict between God and the United States of America, I am choosing God. My choice. I know abortion is legal, but I think it's nonetheless murder outside of Scripture. There are some ungodly things and ungodly laws taking place. There's some ungodly financial laws. If you study American history, you're going to see that there was a separation of powers, of Confederate powers, state-level powers, and federal powers. And the reason, so that nobody got too big for their britches. But now federal are coercing states and telling them, we're going to give you this millions of dollars, but this is what you have to do. I'm telling you, it's contrary to our Constitution. And what states should do is refuse to take the money. Oh, but you're going to have to be a man of conviction to do that. Amram and Jochebed were parents of conviction, and they didn't allow the edicts of an ungodly Pharaoh to keep them from taking God and trusting Him and doing what He wanted them to do. Is Leah up and around, or is she sound asleep? Well, I wanted to use her for an illustration, but you're going to have to use your imaginations. How old is Leah? Jean? 5 months. She's too old anyway. I need a 3-month-old. Because what I'm going to do is I'm going to take her and I'm going to put her in a basket and I'm going to put her in a crocodile-infested river. Are you ready to do that, Mom? Jake's a little older. Ready to put him in a basket? He'd jump out of that. No, he can't. He can't. You want to put James in a basket and put him out in a bunch of crocodiles? I don't think you do. That's what she did. That's what she did. Let's turn back to Exodus. Let's keep going. Let's go a little further. Let's go a little further in chapter 1. Shiphrah and Puah, two ladies that I respect and appreciate. Verse 16, and he said, when you do the office of a midwife to the Hebrew women, and see them that upon the stools, if it be a son, then you shall kill him, and if it be a daughter, then shall she live. Showing preference to the female gender. I think that's wonderful. But in the context, not godly. Not the right thing. We're going to murder all the boys? First word, verse 17. Can you tell me what it is? Got your Bible open? What's it? What is it? First word, verse 17. Oh, something contrary to the edicts of a wicked Pharaoh. But the midwives feared God and did not as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the men children alive. And the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said unto them, why have ye done this thing and have saved the men children alive? And the midwives said unto Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not as the Egyptian women, for they are lively, they are delivered, ere the midwives come in unto them. And I want you to see what God did. It says in verse 20, Therefore, the women did the right thing, and God blessed them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and waxed very mightily. Because of the courage of these women, many Hebrew men that were born and lived, maybe without their courage and fear of God, they would have died. So others are benefiting from their faith, as it were. Verse 21 says, further blessing, and it came to pass, because the midwives feared God, that He made them houses. He blessed them for doing. God is a God, a just God of sowing and reaping. Now look if you would, please, before we leave chapter 1. Look at the last verse of the chapter. And Pharaoh charged all his people, saying, every son that is born ye shall cast in the river, and every daughter ye shall save alive. And that's exactly what Amram and Jochebed did. They cast their son in the river. Well, they made him a boat first, and they pitched it. They made some... I want you to see that, in essence, they did what Pharaoh wanted done, but look at the difference. I believe Pharaoh wanted the child to be dead before he was cast in the river. Kind of tells what kind of maybe the river it was. Interesting, those dead corpses there, but they do things the right way. And look at the blessing. And how many blessings have you ever received from the life of Moses? Really, you owe it to his parents, in essence, do you not? Because if his parents had not had faith, if faith, where's it come from? From hearing. Hearing by the word of God, if they hadn't been instructed, if they hadn't taken God at His word, Moses never would have been conceived. They would have been too afraid to have children. But instead of fearing the wicked edict of the king, they trust God and look at the blessing. Think of, not only you, think of how many of us have been blessed with the life of Moses through the course of our life. You see how your faithfulness can be used to bless other people? You see how God can use your obedience by the grace of God? the miracle of motherhood. It's a tremendous blessing when we see what happened. Now, verse 3 of chapter 2, verse 2, we read that she hit him, and we know from Hebrews 11 that dad had a part in it of hiding him. Now it says, verse 3, and when she could no longer hide him, she took for him an ark of bulrushes and daubed it with slime and with pitch and put the child therein, and she laid it in the flags by the river's brink. And again, remember now, this is a crocodile-infested river. And his sister, who was that? You remember her name? Miriam. Yes, now we could turn to a chapter and see where she's not being a good sister, but here she's being a good sister by the grace of God. She stands afar off. She wants to see what would be done to her brother. And in the providence of God, the daughter of Pharaoh comes down, washes herself, her maidens along with her, along by the riverside. When she saw the ark among the flags, she sent a maid to fetch it. And when she had opened it, she saw the child. Behold, the baby wept, and she had compassion on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrews' children." She now takes the child to care for it. And who does she get to nurse the child? The child's mother. Wow. The wicked Pharaoh makes a wicked law. Let's kill all the Hebrew males. God rules and overrules and uses it to bring about the deliverer of the children of bondage from Egyptian bondage. Remind you of another story? "Crucify him, crucify him," the Jews said. And so God, and again, that was a sin because Jesus never did any sin. The wages of sin is death. He never deserved to die. But God uses an unrighteous act, as it were, in and of itself, the death of his son, to save your soul and deliver you from the bondage of your sin and deliver me from the bondage of my sin. To make sure that I have eternal life, he allows his son to die for me. What a great God. Does it justify the wrongdoing of those that crucified him? "His blood be upon us," they cried. And it will be. I don't think in a washing, cleansing sense like it is if you're a believer here today. God is amazing. It doesn't justify the wrongdoing of the evil workers. But God can rule and overrule. And in this case, he used this simple Hebrew mother to work a miracle. 40 years, we could trace the story. Moses is trained and educated. And most of us couldn't afford that kind of education for our children if we lived in those days. And then he takes him, after training him for 40 years, he then takes him into the wilderness to show him that he's nothing in and of himself. And then the last 40 years, God demonstrates to us all what he can do with the nothing. And that's what he wants to do with you. Moses doesn't have any more power than you have. Moses doesn't have any more faith than you have. Moses is not more a man of God than you are. If you're born again, you're cleansed the same way he was. And what are you doing for God? How is God using you? Maybe it's because, remember how what Christ said to his disciples, "O ye of little faith." Maybe it's because you don't have enough faith. Maybe your faith isn't strong enough. Maybe you need to spend a little more time in church. Maybe you need to spend a little more time at family altar. Maybe you need to spend a little more time on your knees, growing in grace and knowledge of the Lord. Maybe you need a greater hunger and thirst for righteousness. Because if you have that, the Bible says, if you have a greater hunger and thirst for the Word of God, what will happen to you? You'll be fed. Isn't that the promise? Amen. God's not going to burden you to know more about Him and then not teach you. But you and I have a responsibility. We need to study to show ourselves approved. What a tremendous blessing this mother and this father, their faith is, and how you and I benefit from their faithfulness. Did they put their lives on the line by disobeying the law of the land? They did. But they'd done it before, and they were more afraid of God than they were of the evil laws. They did what was right. They chose to do what was right. And we're going to see that that's the example now that we'll see manifested in their son's life. He made those choices as well. And you and I are blessed. Father, we bow before Thee. So much to say, so little time, so few that want to hear it. But we'll do what we have, Father, and we'll thank You. And we know Your word will not return void. And I trust that we will be exhorted to be more faithful. That we'll be faithful spiritual mothers. That we, while maybe can't have more children physically, maybe we can adopt more children. Spiritually, we can win others to Christ, and we can have a burden to mentor them and see them grow in grace and knowledge, and see them have a burden to win others. And we can live the multiplication factor by Your grace. You have to do it, Lord. We can't. We know we can't. But we have a responsibility, and that's to study to show ourselves approved. If we're going to be the workman that needeth not to be ashamed, then our faith has to grow. We have to become more like Christ. We have to be stronger Christians. And that means we're going to have to give up some things that we might rather do. Some other things that may be more pleasurable, we're going to have to be the workman to be prepared for the work that You have for us to do. God forbid that we shouldn't be willing to sacrifice what You have done for us in giving us of Your Son. It's our reasonable service to present our lives a living sacrifice. It's wholly acceptable unto You. Bless these dear people now as we come to the Lord's table. Open our hearts as it's a time of examination. Search us and see if there be any wicked thing in us, and lead us in the way of understanding. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.